anybody that's new, this is the Dream World Podcast. Ashaba and I have been hosting this, and we always have interesting discussions of different things. If you don't know about us, we have an Instagram. It's literally just the Dream World Podcast. And we also have a Clubhouse group, which is only for iPhones. So that's why we do these Zoom discussions, so that people that don't have iPhones can join. So if you want to join our next Clubhouse or Zoom discussion, follow our email list or our social medias to know when the next one is. We always talk about interesting things and have an open discussion about the theories of the universe, astral projection, spirituality, science, mental health, UFOs, metaphysics. There's so many things that we love to talk about. Especially about dreams, you know, for centuries, people have pondered like what dreams mean. And a lot of most early civilizations, you know, saw them as like a medium between the earth world and the spirit world. The Greeks and the Romans were super convinced that the dreams had certain prophetic powers, which, you know, I also believe that they do. Sorry. And while we sleep, you know, our subconscious minds continues to work on problems that our conscious mind can't resolve in our waking life. So that's part of why it helps us, you know, and our spirit guides, they help us, they can meet us there, right? And even, you know, you hear the saying, oh, I need to sleep on it, you know, I need to sleep on it. And sleeping on it has led to major scientific discoveries. The scientist Mendeleev, I don't know how you say it, but he created the periodic table of the elements, and he saw the structure of the table in his dream, and he woke up and he wrote it out exactly how he saw it. And also the same thing for the shape and the structure of DNA. The James Watson scientist hadn't thought of the double helix, and he was trying to organize DNA or whatever. And he saw it in his dream, the spiral staircase of like a snake. And then he woke up and it just clicked to him. And more on the premonition side, I don't know if you guys have heard, there's stories throughout history as well with Abraham Lincoln, who was the president of the United States. 2 weeks before he died, he told his wife that he had a dream where he was dead on the east wing of the White House. And that's exactly where his body was found. So that's really interesting. And a lot of people have experienced some sort of dream premonition. A lot of people might say it's just a coincidence, or they feel the uncanny, weird feeling about it without a rational explanation. And a lot of people just dismiss it as luck or some creepy coincidence. But there's a lot of compelling scientific evidence that backs the accuracy of some sort of precognitive experiences within your dreams. And it's actually like 15 to 30% of people who have, you know, who dream a lot and care about their dreams, they say that they've had some sort of vision of the future. And like half of those happen within a couple of days, like the next day or a couple of days that it happens. And, you know, it can help you feel prepared. It can help you control your fear. I don't think we should see it as a way to try to control the outcome of things. But it can be really helpful for just preparing ourselves. Like a personal example for me, a lot of my precognitive dreams, I didn't know they were premonitions. Like I would dream of something and the furniture in my house was rearranged. And like, I would have a dream about something. It was just a really random moment. And then like months later, we had arranged our furniture and I had forgot about the dream. And in the dream, I was wondering, I was like, why is the couch over there? And like, why? I thought it was weird, but I was just like, oh, it's just a weird dream. And then like months later, I was like in the same moment having the same conversation, and like, it wasn't relevant, but I was like, oh, I've been here in my dream. That's so weird. And it was exactly, I said the exact same thing. I did the same thing without even realizing. And then it hit me like, oh, we moved the couches, like, you know, little things like that. And I've had other experiences as well. I know you guys have as well. I've also found things in my dream that I didn't know about in real life. Like looking for things that I didn't know where they were. I would ask dream characters to figure it out in my dreams. So, you know, it's really interesting. And I think there is a difference between intuitive dreams and precognitive dreams. But it has happened to me where I have no previous experience or events related to a dream. It's just random and unexpected, and it's still shown to be true later in real life.
I believe that dreams are messages from our subconscious mind. And you know, these are sometimes messages that we may not hear when we are in the physical. I believe that, you know, whenever we go to sleep or whenever we go to bed, we are always getting these messages coming through for us, you know. So some people, they learn how to read and decipher the messages that they receive in their dreams, because you hear dreams, incidents where dreams have saved people from, you know, impending danger or an accident or something like that, just because they listened. you know, when they saw the dreams. So I also believe that for me, dreams can also be snippets into the future or snippets into other dimensions. And dreams really have types. Like you have dreams that could possibly come true, but then you also have dreams that are just literal, and then you have dreams that are symbolic, same as visions. So it's up to the person who has had these dreams or visions, because at the end of the day, it's the feelings that are attributed to them. And that is why it's never easy to say that you can really interpret someone's dream, because the feelings they had, the emotion they had when they're having that dream, you will never really understand it and you'd never really feel it. So when it comes to dream, we know that the subconscious mind is communicating with our conscious mind. And whenever we go to sleep, this is when the messages come through. So for some people, they know how to read these messages and they see them as clues, you know, to decipher their physical life and how, you know, it can help them. And for others, they believe that the intuition is really, really stronger and the spirit realm is more open when we are in that unconscious state, you know. So they believe that we are able to pull through those messages that, you know, that are coming through from wherever. So yeah, that is what I know about dreams. For me, my dreams have always, I have like different types of dreams. I have dreams that do happen, but those ones, like when I'm in it, it feels so vivid. And sometimes you never even know whether the dreams are going to happen. It's when it's happening that you realize, you know, actually I saw this in a dream, you know. But I have those that do happen. And then I have those that are just like a symbol. And I have those that are literal. Like, but some people are really good at interpreting dreams, you know, and when you learn like to interpret your own dreams, I think that is really amazing, because then you can now start using your dreams to hack into your daily life.
Yeah, that's really insightful. I've had so many premonitions across the years because I've been recording dreams for 10 years. So I've probably had hundreds of premonitions. It's really what you call a deja vu, which means seen before. Like the most significant one was that my brother missed a train that he was meant to be on, and then the train derailed and I saw the derailing of the train, and my brother missed the train, so he survived. Yet then the train actually derailed and many people died. So I foresaw that. I also saw once I was growing marijuana, and then I foresaw the police raiding the field, and my brother also had a dream of the police raiding the field, and then it actually happened like 2 days later. Yeah, sometimes it's insignificant, like packing my bag and leaving the house, and I dream of it. And then a couple months later, the exact contents and the exact bag and the exact scene of leaving the house happens. Or like a musical melody is played. And then the next day, a band comes into the studio and they play a musical melody. So, I mean, that's happened a lot to me over the years.
Thanks. Yeah, it's crazy. And wow. Like sometimes it's random for me too. And it's just interesting. It makes me think, like, do we really have free will, or is this just going to happen how it happens?
Stuart, thank you for that. You know, I was saying I really relate to what you're saying, because sometimes you see a person like in a dream, and or you see events in a dream, but then you forget them. When you wake up, you forget the, you know, the events of how it played out, or your memory will not be as exactly as it played out in the dream. But when you, like, the event does happen, maybe like a day or weeks from then, then you remember, this is what I saw in the dream. So sometimes you don't even know that the dream is going to happen until it is actually really unfolding. Dreams are our way, you know, to connect the other dimensions and the spirit world. And that is when messages come in. And like Stuart, you've been saying, because some of these messages can come in at the right time and save you, you know, save you or your family members, especially if you heed to them, you know, if you heed to them and follow them through earlier, you can see that. But some people have this problem where, you know, like they forget their dreams. So they don't even know they could have saved an accident that could have happened, but because they forgot their dream, you know, they didn't get to. So yeah.
Yeah, I had this awesome dream, because before I started lucid dreaming, my dream practice was searching for premonitions. So I've got this old dream journal and it's full of these premonitions. And then some of them are like just finding my lighter fixed or somebody asking for rent. And they all happen exactly as I dreamt them. So in this one dream, I got this gift of prophecy where there were big letters written in the dream saying gift of prophecy. And I woke up from it. It was such like an awesome dream, you know, the gift of prophecy, because it's really like premonitions are to prophesy the future. I mean, the earliest example, well, one clear example is one of the most famous dreams in history was the dream of the Pharaoh in Egypt when Joseph that dude, he foresaw his brothers and his parents bowing to him. And then he also became a dream interpreter. And then he foresaw that there would be like 7 years of like a good harvest, 7 years of like a bad harvest. And he foresaw that. So, I mean, there those examples from history, too, which are interesting. What kind of biblical history, whether it happened or not, just the idea is interesting.
I'm looking at scientific side of it, because sometimes when we say science, we think that science is really complete or that it's separate from spirituality. But I don't think that is the case. I believe that there is a spot where science and spirituality come together and they try to work things out, you know. So I feel like if you're to look at the scientific bit of it, I feel like sometimes when people say, you know, they're seeing things in the dreams, that things come to happen, it is not so much so as someone seeing something and wanting that thing to happen as much as that person having, you know, looked into a possible future. And when that future plays out, you know, it's like, oh, I saw that, you know, I saw that before it happened. So it's like identifying the timeline we're in and, you know, seeing that. So I think that is really interesting and fascinating too.
Yeah, well, there's been so much scientific research into ESP and ESP dreaming, not so much seeing the future, yet there have been lots of anecdotal results of seeing the future from the Psychical Research Society that research kind of dreaming of people dying before they died, all kinds of things like that. Yet then the research, what they did, they got two people. One person saw a picture and tried to send the picture to someone else who were sleeping in different places in the sleep lab. Then they woke up, both participants, when they were in REM, and they tried to match the picture that the person was seeing. And some got quite high significant results. Yet science has always been skeptical because it would really transform the view, the world view of how time works and how we're able to see into the future. And what plane? It's like the dream plane can move, is kind of beyond time. It can move back into the past or forward into the future, whereas our waking consciousness is stuck just in the present moment.
You know, Stuart, that makes me really think, because now that really takes me down, you know, this kind of theory. That makes me think that when you say that, and you say that it seems like the dream world moves between the future and all of that, I just feel like, you know, humans, we are spiritual beings, right? What if being on this earth, you know, in these physical bodies, we have these limitations, but we were never limited to begin with from the very beginning, which would mean that when we are in the spirit world, we know that we are not limited by our physical, you know, weaknesses. And therefore, we don't look at time because time is not a factor there, which means that you could visit your past, you could visit your future, anywhere you would want to be, because those timelines are active and they're running, you know. So I believe that when we are in the spirit world, we know that we're not limited. And that is why you can think, I should fly, I should do this, because you know that it's a dream, you know, and you know that anything can happen in a dream. But what if that is already a world that is existing and anything can happen in that world? And it would be the same in this world if only we were not, you know, limited by our physical, you know, capabilities.
Yeah. And in our world, like you were saying, we have to follow the laws of physics, right? Which means that we are limited to three dimensions. We live in a 3D reality. And those three dimensions that we can freely move in, we can go forward and backward, side to side, up and down. We can move as much as we want in all those three directions. When it comes to time, which is known as the fourth dimension, right? We only have three dimensions. If time is the fourth dimension, we can't go forward and backwards and up and down. We can only go one way. That's how our reality is structured. So with time as the fourth dimension, we can only move forward in one direction in time. On the other side, there are other beings or in the spirit world that can live in the fourth dimension, meaning they can manipulate time forward, backwards, side, up, down, whatever way time goes. And that's really because if you understand the concept of the present moment and the past and the future all happening at the same time right now, when we have premonitions or, you know, even in meditative states, you know, when you have downloads and visions, you're tapping into the present moment of the future, which is happening right now. You just can only experience that one directional time within the world that we live in. With dreams and the past and the future, none of them really exist, the past and the future. It's only the present. The past and the future are the present moment in that point in time. So it's kind of a confusing concept to wrap your head around, but it makes sense if you think about it. That's why we're able to tap into the future. And, you know, the past is just a memory. The future is just our thoughts and anxieties. But, you know, premonitions and dreams and even just downloads and messages that I get from the universe, they give me a lot of comfort and just knowing that there's more to life than what we think. So that's why I love the dream world.
Well, I'd like to mention remote viewing, because remote viewing is really about ESP. I mean, they're not really premonitions. They're lifetime viewing. Usually it was done by the military in this project called Project Stargate. And some famous remote viewers were Pat Price, Ingo Swann, and some others. And they would have to see a target at a long distance away, like a military installation of some kind, and describe it and even do sketches that was like active. It was actionable intel that could be used in situations that was done in remote viewing. Yeah, that's also been done in back in time. Napoleon also OBE'd during his campaigns, which is similar to dreaming, OBEs and dreams, and using that perception. Because when we OBE, we can really travel about the physical universe. I love OBE dreams because we can explore the physical world and what's happening, what's going to happen, what is happening all at the same time.
And it's cool because about the remote viewing, I mean, a lot of people are just now starting to realize that, like, you know, with Robert Monroe and the Monroe Institute, the CIA, like our own, I mean, I live in the States, so that's why I'm saying ours, but yeah, our own government has been in tune to this stuff for decades, and they just kept it, you know, low key, because this stuff is, you know, it's definitely bizarre for people that maybe for the masses, but you know, it's the great awakening. Now we're starting to realize what all this means. So yeah. And I don't know, the CIA had all these public documents online that they published about it and everything. But when people started to kind of notice it and talk about it, they deleted it.
No, I was going to say with what Martin was saying about the OBE, which is very true, because sometimes when I'm having like an OBE, I will be in this present moment, like still on planet Earth, but I'm seeing different events that are playing out in probably different parts of the world, but they're real time events, like they're really, really happening. It's only that when you come back, you may remember some of them as faint memories, but they are not as vivid, you know, because when you come back, the memory is not as really, really vivid. So they fade and they become like a memory, you know, they enter that kind of state. So, but I've seen events that have played out just like I had seen them, you know, like for example, recently I've been having this dream that I would have over and over, and I didn't know what it meant, but like I would see, like I'll be like on an island, and then all of a sudden, like we'll be surrounded with this beautiful water. Then all of a sudden, you know, like it would be like an earthquake. You know, I would feel like the earth is shaking and it's shattering, and I never like really focused on it that much. But then again, it continued. Like I've had like 10 dreams of the same thing, you know, and it's like the latest one, I was more of like a volcano, like on a small island, then there was this volcano that erupted, and then the ground is really, really shaking. And I never really understood what really happened or what it meant until recently. I saw somewhere on the news that one of the Caribbean islands, you know, erupted, like they had a volcano and it erupted, and they were praying for the people there. I think it is either Saint Vincent or Grenadine, one of them. But they had like an eruption, and you know, the entire island was shaking, and you know, people, I don't know whether people died or something. So that is really, you know, fascinating.
Hi, can you explain what remote viewing?
Yeah, sure. Basically, remote viewing is the practice of seeking information about a certain target, sensing it with the mind. So for example, there's been a lot of experiments with this, not only through the CIA, but like Martin was saying, a lot of different institutions have done scientific experiments about it, even the Stanford Research Institute. What they'll do is, like Martin was saying, they'll have like a target or something that they're looking for, and then the subject will either astral project or have an out-of-body experience and find in the dream world or the astral plane, they will find whatever target they are looking for. So Martin, I don't know if you can want to explain it better. You probably know more than me.
Yeah, remote viewing is basically viewing something remotely while you're not physically there. I mean, the lines blur for me between dreams and OBEs because I have them simultaneously, even lucid OBEs. So, I mean, my experience, I was seeing a war zone, kind of, I think it's a survival mechanism why we see the future. So we kind of dream of situations that may happen to us or situations that are possible. So then I dreamt of all these scenes of this war. And then it was about the war in Syria, and I had kind of seen the scenes of that happening from a distance while I was staying in the Middle East. As soon as I landed, I started to dream of that. Yeah, I also did remote viewing when this guy disappeared on this mountain. He may have been abducted by aliens, and everyone was searching for him physically. So I tried to metaphysically search for him on the mountain as well. And my target was like the guy on the mountain. And I was searching, and I just saw clouds and like these entities, kind of aliens on the mountain. And it's funny because that was actually in the original remote viewing study. Pat Price had seen that same mountain in one of his remote viewing sessions where this happened.
But yeah, it's interesting to me when a lot of people have similar experiences of similar beings or similar places, like people that don't even know of each other, because it kind of gives it more backing of like, okay, there are places that are consistent that we can go to. And there is a way that we can go out of our body to keep and kind of be halfway and still explore the physical realm. Like my experience with remote viewing, I'm a lucid dreamer. I don't really astral project. I'm practicing, but I'm more of a lucid dreamer. But the few times I did astral project was either through meditation or it happened through a type of lucid dream. And I, like I said earlier, I was looking for something, like I had lost some money or like a jewelry. I can't remember what I had lost, but I was searching through my house from outside of my body. And it felt like there were energies helping me, and I didn't really have my dream body. I was just kind of floating as an energy. Like I felt like I was the air is kind of how I'm explaining it, but it's hard to find the words. And I was searching through my house, and I really was searching the physical realm, because when I woke up, I went to go look where I had found it or where I had thought it was, and it was there. So that just blew my mind. And ever since then, I've been interested in it more.
And also, like, to give like a brief explanation to Melissa. So I think remote viewing is more like, I don't know whether you've watched, have you watched this movie Behind Her Eyes? So remote viewing is more like, it's more like teleportation, but without like your body. It's more like of your mind and sight, you know. So it's like, for example, if you're there and you think of, say, your husband, you don't know where your husband is, you know. So you think of him, then you develop this feeling where you try to connect to wherever he is. So you can go there either like in spirit or through an out of body, and you're able to be there and see what he's doing currently in this, you know, right timeline that we're in. So you're able to see whatever he's doing, you know, and then also you're able to come back again, once again in your body. So that is what they call remote viewing. Because the reason why they were talking about it in the war, or why they were saying soldiers were using it, because it would really be a great, great weapon to possess for the, you know, for whoever, whichever side has that or has soldiers who can do that, because that means you could leave your body and be able to see where the enemy is, you know, and act upon that according to where the enemy is. Because so many times people try to send like drones, but drones can't see so much, you know, they're always up there. They could only, you know, just try to see just a bit, you know, vaguely. But with this kind of remote viewing, it means that your spirit is able to penetrate the walls and go through them and all that stuff. So you're really, really able to see where the enemy is behind enemy lines, and you can be able to, you know, either decide to end them or something like that. So that is why that is a really great weapon. And I think that is what we're trying to see, how they can use it. That way you can be able to find anything or anyone by just thinking about them, and then immediately you'll be taken to where they are, you know. Yeah. But I also know that what I think about remote viewing, I'm not really sure. I've not tried it myself. I've had out of body, but I don't know whether that's what they call remote viewing. But I'm also starting to think that sometimes you cannot go to places you've not been before, you know, like you have to know a place before you can like go there, because the more you know the place, the more you give it, you know, feelings when you're pulling that image, you know. Am I making sense to anyone? Like, I've been thinking about that. It's like the more you know the place, the more you pull its image and give it realness, so that, you know, you can easily, your spirit can easily find its way there, compared to when you've never been to a place. And that is why they used to say that it's always easy when even it comes to, you know, astral projection. You go to places mostly that you've been to, or you just have an idea of, or something like that.
Well, I think that you can actually explore reality, because like in the original remote viewing, the people were so far away from the targets and they had never been there. So sometimes you can explore physical reality and extend the boundaries. Like in Tibetan dream yoga, they build a dream body out of the five elements, ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And they use this dream body to have premonitions, because they have lots of premonitions about incarnations of lamas. Before the next lama incarnates, they'll like dream of where, which city he will incarnate in, what his name will be. And they use this to get like the next Dalai Lama or someone like that. They try it. They have trials where they have prayer beads, a rosary, all these prayer beads, all these bowls. And then the person selects the bowl and the prayer beads that they used in their previous incarnation. So they prove that it's really them. Yeah, while I was staying in the Middle East, I had this one premonition that the floor was flooded. And then we woke up the next day and then the floor was flooded and we had to unflood the floor. So it was kind of like just a direct survival kind of mechanism.
So when it happens, you feel like you're more prepared? Do you feel like sometimes you try to change it, or how's your reaction when you feel like you have a premonition dream, if you know?
Well, like I had this one of the National Art Gallery where I was having an installation. So I dreamt of the director giving me more space. So I went to the meeting and then he gave us more space and I was fully prepared for it. And then I had paintings planned for the space. So I like prepared in advance by having that dream in the past.
Isn't that like manifestation? Because if you see something in the dream and then you truly believe that it's going to happen, then it will happen. Or even more, it could also be that you're the one who imposed that it should happen that way. And then it ended up happening that way. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's a mix of both, I think. Yeah, also had this one dream of I was in the body. I was disembodied like an OBE. Then I possessed a body of a thief. And then the thief burgled my friend's house. And then I saw builders next door. And then a month later, exactly to the day, one lunar month later, his house was burgled. And then he called me and he told me about it. Then I said, did you get fingerprints from the builders next door? And he was like, how did you know there were builders next door? And I was like, yeah, I saw it in a dream. So then there's this film called Minority Report, where these three precogs prevent crime by seeing crimes before they happen.
That seems like a good use for it, to prevent crime and stuff, rather than to like spy on people. But I guess with things like this, there's always going to be people with good intentions and people with bad intentions. I feel like maybe that's why it's not easy or common, and maybe a lot of people brush it off as coincidences. Because imagine if everyone on Earth was in tune with their dreams this much. How would people use it? I always think about that sometimes. It could go wrong.
Yeah. In like Buddhism, they classify it as clear light dreaming and karma dreaming. So they say the majority of our dreams are karma dreams. We're dreaming if we're hungry, we dream of food. If we're horny, we dream of sex. If we're tired, we rest. I mean, so then in clear light dreaming, we see the future and we get lucid. And then in karma dreams, they're just regular dreams of our daily kind of residue of what we've been through during the day.
But, you know, there are also these dreams that, you know, are symbolic. Like, it would, like, for example, I was sharing my dream last time on Clubhouse of, you know, I saw like a lion in my dream. And then someone came and explained that the lion in my dream was representing courage, you know, and, you know, something like that, you know. So there are those dreams that are symbolic, but they're like messages from the subconscious, but we just have to decipher them and see what they mean. Because when the person interpreted that dream for me, it made so much sense, because initially I'd seen like a dog and then a snake, you know, dog swallowing a snake, and this person was telling me that the dog represents my passions, you know, and the snake represents my fears, and the dog, you know, was taking care of my fears. My passion would eventually overpower my fears, you know. That is what he explained. And it was really profound, because that is exactly how I was feeling at the moment. So some dreams may not be as direct, like you will not know it exactly, but they are symbolic. And when you decipher them, or when you see like an animal, you know what the animal means. When you learn how to decipher them, it really helps.
That reminds me of the sort of like the Asclepion. Well, in the Asclepion, they used to diagnose illness and medicines with dreams. They covered the floor with snakes, and then the snakes would lick people's eyelids while they slept. And they would wake up and tell the healers what they dreamt of. And then the healers would find medicine. So they kind of like had premonitions of what medicine to use on their own ailments while they were dreaming. So it's very interesting of how premonitions worked with ESP and premonitions.
Yeah, that's definitely really interesting. There's definitely a lot of different types of dreams aside from the premonitions, and there's intuitive dreams, because sometimes, you know, you'll have events leading up to your life that you kind of are trying to figure something out. You already have information on it. It's not just random information. Like, for example, if you've been feeling sick or something, and then you have a dream where you have some sort of illness or something, and then you find out later that you do have it, it's more of an intuitive dream. You know, your dreams can really help you just understand your life better, understand yourself better. True precognitive dreams have no previous events or experiences contributing to them, and they still show up to be true. So it's always fascinated me. And there's so many examples also, like I'm sure you guys have known, like I was saying, like famous songs like Paul McCartney, who he heard one of his favorite songs, like from the Beatles, he heard it in his dream. So a lot of these things that we bring from our dreams, they already existed in the dream world.
Everyone is a dreamer here. What helps you dream better? Or what's that thing that you practice that helps you not forget like your dreams? For example, for me, I was using, you know, toothpaste that had fluoride. And then I read somewhere that when you use toothpaste without fluoride, you remember your dreams, you know. And then I started doing that. And then my dreams started becoming vivid, you know. But then also at one point, I was taking like CBD oil to help me with sleeping. And then I was told that sometimes it can also affect, you know, like your sleep pattern or your, like, the way you, like, actually it can affect your sleep pattern. And eventually you don't get to remember your dreams. So what are those things that you've had, you know, that really can help with dreaming, or that can, you know, make your dreams more vivid, stuff like that you can share?
Yeah, so I have a lot to say on that. And for the CBD, it's actually interesting because I thought it was the THC that affects your dreams. I don't know about CBD because it's not, you know, it's kind of like half of the chemical. But there's a lot of like herbal teas and stuff that you can take that'll help, like mugwort tea. Sometimes I take it before bed and it helps my dreams. And this is not, you know, I just want to say this isn't like medical advice. You know, like I've been very into my lucid dream practice before I started using these things. So I wouldn't suggest anybody just depend on it if you just started lucid dreaming. Rather, like, get used to your lucid dreaming practice and then start trying these things. But there's also like Kalia Z, which is like a plant. And they sell little supplements as well that I've tried. And it's a mixture of mugwort and valerian root and Kalia Z and some other chemicals or herbs. And you take them before you sleep, and then you do a wake back to bed, and you take one before you go back to bed again. And I tried those, and it made my dreams so vivid and so lucid, like every day. I bought them on Amazon. But the mugwort tea is cool. It was more natural. And then even simple things like taking vitamin B6, I think. It gives you energy. Caffeine before bed can also help. A lot of people report that when they drink milk or cheese, I guess it's the dairy, before bed, they have very vivid dreams. Like there's a whole joke on Reddit about cheese dreams. So that's interesting to me. Everybody's body is so different. But I also think that a routine, like a meditating night routine, helps me when I focus before bed on what, you know, and incubate the idea of my dreams. And then, of course, I'm always going to be an advocate for dream journaling. I think it's the most important thing if you care about your dreams, because it's like building the habit of writing down your dreams, and also just kind of building the muscle memory of having more dreams and remembering them. So that's for me.
Yeah, I also tried B6 at Work Wonders, as well as valerian, melatonin. Interestingly, the cheese thing is that it contains tryptophan. Tryptophan changes into serotonin, hydroxyserotonin, then melatonin, and most likely it changes into DMT, which is why we dream. It's like the metabolic pathway of dreams. Yeah, so I echo that, all those. And there's some origins, like there's sea bean. I used to smoke a sea bean, and then the sea bean entadaridi, the plant is called, and then it makes us kind of have vivid lucid dreams. There's Silene capensis, all these kind of like local sort of like traditional medicines that are used by the spirit mediums here for dreams. And then I've also taken ibogaine, which is kind of like an onrogen that produces a dreamlike state where we see our lives kind of flash before our eyes and things. So all of those, even Egyptian lotus too, is really good for dreaming. Well, in Tata Reedy, you smoke through the seed of this giant pod. Selenocopensis, you use the roots. In Pepo, you burn it before you sleep.
But also another thing that I just thought of, it's actually video games and virtual reality and stuff like that. But even any type of video games, like a lot of scientific research on this has shown that people that regularly play video games have more lucid dreams. And it makes sense because when you're playing a video game, you're used to controlling your game environment and doing whatever you want. So like it translates over both ways into your dream world. So I thought that was just really cool. A lot of people that play video games have more, you know, certain types of dreams. So it made me want to play video games more.
And so video games basically just help your mind practice controlling your own reality, practice thinking outside the box and manifesting instantly within your own world. And if you want to know about a video game that's actually really cool, it's called Dungeons and Dragons, which is basically an improv game where you make up rules and decide what you want to do as you go. So it's really kind of on the same page about lucid dreaming. You can also create your own board that you play on. And I'd actually like to take this second to shout out a podcast called The Cast Party. It's a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. And basically, they thrust into the world of Dungeons & Dragons. They're four cast and crew members from a Hollywood film set. And they basically go on all these adventures and log their adventures. You can follow along with them and see what they do and all the fun and hilarious stories. So check them out. The link will be in the show notes below. Their name is Cast Party, the Dungeons and Dragons podcast. It's really awesome. Definitely check it out.
Wow. That's a lot. I don't know. I think there was a time I used to try milk. I never tried to relate the milk with my dreams. For me, I feel like, for example, if I want to have like a lucid dream, recently what happened was, for me, I like woke up in the middle of the night. I woke up like thrice, you know, and I kept trying to look up the ceiling. My normal sleeping style is I sleep about on top of my stomach, you know, so but I kept looking up, you know, like trying to really, like something was really disturbing me to keep me from sleep. And that is how, you know, later on I entered like this lucid kind of state, like I could feel myself slipping into being lucid. And then I started thinking of like flying. But I don't know whether I was like, I wasn't really ready for it yet because I wasn't trying to, you know, lucid. So I kind of thought of flying. My mind was not really in the space that I wanted it to be, where I could be able to decide what I can see. I just remember seeing like some screen on my like ceiling, and they kept on showing like some animation. I didn't know what animation was playing, but it kept on playing over and over, and I kept on trying to, like, you know, so I didn't have a good mapped out a plan for how I will, what I will do when I enter the lucid state. So I feel like maybe my mind is not as sharp as it used to be, because for me, most of the lucid that really works out well for me is the one that happens during the day, because I'm really in control of my mind and what is happening around me. But then I feel like, you know, I want to be able to enter that state whereby I can just enter lucid dreaming and, you know, not like, you know, be in control of what I see, be in control of what I get to do, like be in control of everything. But I feel like I'm not able to, you know, hold that as much. Even the dreams, like I do go to bed, I do dream every time I go to bed. I've never, you know, not dreamt. So I always write down my dreams however I see them. But sometimes some dreams are either very symbolic and I really don't know what they mean. So I just have like this book of dreams that I'm never going to find out exactly what they mean, unless I have like an interpreter on the side, you know, who like really understands them. But for example, yesterday I had a dream that I was climbing, you know, some stairs, you know, but then it's like they look like escalators, and one side was like really broken. They were trying to repair it. The other side didn't really move the way it was supposed to do as electricity. Then I went on the middle one. I felt like I could walk on it well, so I was able to. And then I, you know, like I was really climbing those stairs, heading up. And then I just remember being somewhere, you know, like travel. We're supposed to travel somewhere, and we had packed everything. You know, I was packing everything, and you know, they were ushering us into like someone went and got like these VIP card lounges. I mean, the VIP card for people to sit in the lounge. So it's like, you know, you get a dream and you really don't know what it means, but at the same time, you know that it's very, very like important. Yeah, I guess I just have to learn how to decipher my own dreams, because sometimes I feel like if I knew how to decipher my dreams, I wouldn't even be in the situations that I'm in real life. I'd probably have a way better life, because I'll be like, you know, in vibe with what my guides are trying to communicate with me. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, dream interpretation is definitely a learning curve. I mean, you have to really start to understand yourself and what it means.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be alive today if I never listened to my dreams, because I think it's really saved me a lot of times, that very close calls and things like that happened.
That's pretty.
I guess what I have to do is I have to ask my guide to be very direct, you know, in my dreams, like rather than send me these things that I'm going to be deciphering, like I'm, you know, like I'm trying to pass some exam or something like that. I just, you know, have to be like, you know, you guys, if you have something to show me, just, you know, show it to me straight. Don't take me through these corners and stuff like that. I think maybe that will help along the way, because honestly, I feel like I have like a journal full of dreams, but I don't know how to interpret them. Like it's once in a while when a dream is really direct, but sometimes it's really, really not direct. Like, for example, I don't know, Stuart, are you really good at interpreting dreams?
Yeah, I've got like 10 journals full. So, I mean, I've been reading and interpreting dreams for years. Yeah, then dream interpretation is very personal. The symbols mean something only to you. Books of dream interpretation don't work that well. There are some funny books from ancient Egypt. Like if you dream of eating crocodile, it means you'll become like someone that's high up in society, like a minister or something. It doesn't always work. Yet, I mean, you have to rely on your own symbols, and through going through many journals, you catalog symbols and you start to understand what each mean.
But you're right with what you're saying. Dreams are only significant to the person that is dreaming them. But like sometimes the people who are really good at interpreting other people's dreams, you know, like if they're spiritually connected and stuff like that. Honestly, I just keep having this dream where someone is stealing from me, you know. And I don't know whether it's a symbolic dream, whether it's literal, but like this person just, you know, like every time, like this person just comes and, you know, takes something from me. And I don't know. I shared it with my mother. She's kind of good at, you know, interpreting dreams. And she was telling me that it means that someone is taking away, is trying to steal what's mine, you know, like what's rightfully mine. So it's really interesting that some people are able to just see that and understand. Maybe to a small extent, I also like kind of know what the dreams mean. Like I know what's being something being stolen, but I don't know how big it is or what it is that is being stolen. But I believe that other people who have that gift, you know, to interpret, that people who really are gifted with the interpretation of dreams. So there is that possibility that the people understand other people's dreams and can interpret them. Not everyone is good at it, but there are those who are really good at that.
Yeah, I like everything you guys said. I've always been good at interpreting my own dreams. I feel like just because I understand myself. But another thing you can do with Shaba is talk to your subconscious too, like your own mind, ask for clarity. And when you get lucid, try to ask your subconscious to manifest itself as a visual, physical thing you can see, or as a person or whatever, and have a conversation with your subconscious. And even when you meditate or pray, specifically ask your subconscious to be more clear and to help you understand your dreams. And it'll just come to you. The knowledge will start coming, because it's really powerful what our subconscious will do if we ask it to help us, which is kind of weird to say it as something different than ourselves, but there really is layers to our existence. So that could be really powerful too.
I think another thing is that when we get lucid, we can actively in the lucid dream interpret each stage as it happens. We can ask the dream, what does this mean? What does this mean? And like call out to the dream and get like answers about what the dream means while lucid. Being lucid and having premonitions is interesting. Yet then I had this one semi-lucid dream where I got like semi-lucid. Then I saw a screen and the screen was playing like all these people that were going to die kind of in the future of natural causes, of everything. It was just playing kind of like a series of this. And then it was quite a scary dream because I was like, damn, that's all the people that's going to die. How can I stop it? You can't stop death or something. It's like, yeah, that's what happened.
Okay, so we are going to be able to do a guided meditation. Please be in a comfortable place, be in a comfortable location. If you have headsets, you can wear them. If you have headphones, you can wear them. What I'm going to try to do today is, last time we did letting go, today I'm going to try for you to meet a guide, any guide, one of your guides, and if you have any questions, to be able to ask them whatever you want to ask, and then, you know, hearing them telling you what you're supposed to do. So if you have a question on mind, something that you want to ask, something that you need answers to, something that you need help with, prepare that in your heart so that when we do the crossover, you are ready and you can be able to ask whatever you want to ask. And remember, follow my voice, and whenever you feel like you're deviating or your mind is, you know, taken away from what is happening right here, just focus on your breathing and then you'll come back. Today, since we are very few people, I'm going to try and also be part of the meditation. So I'm not going to like really rush it. So when I have these moments of keeping quiet, don't feel uncomfortable. I'm also trying to tap into the entire energy of everyone that is meditating right now. So close your eyes. We should start with the breathing in and out. When I say breathing, you breathe in and then you hold the breath. When you hold the breath, you count to four. One, two, three, four. At four, you exhale through your mouth. And as you exhale, I want you to feel the long exhale. Feel your body relaxing. Feel yourself entering into that deep state of relaxation. So we breathe in. Breathe in. Breathe in, hold, exhale, I'm going to count from 5 to 1 with every number. I want you to feel your body entering into that deep, deep state of relaxation. Loosen your shoulders, loosen your neck, loosen your jaws, feel your body entering into that deep state of relaxation. 5, breathe in. 4, breathe in. Exhale. 3, breathe in, hold it, exhale, 2, we breathe in, 1 deep, long breath, exhale, 1, finally, breathe in, exhale, feel your body entering into a deep state of relaxation, feel yourself relaxing deeper and deeper. Now we shall start with the first exercise, which is gratitude. Here we just think about all the things that we're grateful for. And as we picture these things in our mind's eye, we see their faces and smile and say, thank you, God, for blessing this. You can look at your family, your friends, your job, your house, the food that you have, the clothes that you wear, the roof above your head. Think about all the things that you're grateful for, and as the images of those things flash before your eyes, give thanks, give gratitude, and feel your happiness penetrate the deepest part of your heart as you are grateful for everything that you have. Your family, your friends, your partner, your job, your house, all those things. Give gratitude. In giving gratitude, we open our hearts to receive more and more abundance. Now that we've done the gratitude part, I want you in your mind's eye to envision a door in front of you. There's this door comes in front of you. It could be any color, it could be white, it could be gold, it could be in the form of a glass or silver, or it could be a wooden door surrounded by beautiful summer flowers around it. You know you have to walk through this door because behind the door, there are the answers that you seek. As you stand up and you feel your body lighter like a feather, and you realize that you, your spirit, is the one that is walking through that door. As you head for the doorknob, you feel the excitement because you know your answers are here. And you open the door. You see this beautiful garden, this beautiful green grass. You can also smell the freshness of the flowers, beautiful flowers. And as the scent and the fragrance of the flowers grows stronger and stronger, you can feel the freshness of the air here. It's beautiful, beautiful. And you feel a certain sense of pride. Like this is where you belong. This is where you're supposed to be. But you know you're here to meet someone today. And as you walk and you look down, you realize the path you walk on. It's a beautiful, beautiful brick road. I don't know, something just came to unseen in my head, like some you just saying, like this beautiful golden kind of pavement street kind of thing like that. And as you look ahead of you, you see someone there far away, like at the end of the road. You know that you have to meet them. You know that they have the answers. You're surrounded by these beautiful snow-capped mountains, and you can hear the sound of the waterfalls in the distance and the trickling of the streams, the sound of the beautiful birds, and the sun that is touching your skin. The sky is not as blue as ours. The colors here are very vivid and very beautiful. You feel so free, like anything you've ever wanted can come to pass here. Everything you've ever dreamed of can happen here. You feel so free, free from all your troubles, free from all your pain, free from all your sorrows. You just feel this peacefulness that is upon your heart. Just free and happy. And as your hands run alongside the flowers, as you walk through them, and you head towards the person that you're supposed to meet, and you can tell from a distance they're taller than you. And as you head towards them, they're aware of you now, and they're turning. And they smile down at you. I don't know who you're meeting. It could be a guy, it could be a woman, probably some long hair, these beautiful clothes, and just plain beautiful. And others, it could be a guy, like wearing this armor, whatever you think. And they take your hand, which are very, use a very small in their palms. And you feel so at peace. You feel you can trust them. And any question that you have, you want answers to, you feel you can ask that here, you'll get your answers. So I'll give you a minute to do that. All the questions that you have, you can ask them and you get your answers. And, you know, the answer is, you don't expect like a voice, like someone shouting. Here it's telepathy. You will know the answer. It will be the first thing that pops up in your mind. And you will know if you have something that you've been wanting to ask and you ask it, you feel the first, you know, answer that comes up within you, and you will know that that is your answer to the question that you asked. And as you feel the freshness of this place, and your body is feeling more light, and you feel yourself floating off the ground, wanting to explore with this guide of yours, and you feel the winds blowing at the back of your back, you can feel them huge. And you're ready to fly around with this guide of yours as you continue asking your question. You fly above fields, and you see the stream, and you hear the stream of the valley, and it's beautiful. This is a beautiful Press. And now we shall prepare ourselves to come back. I'll be counting from 5 to 1. I can see some of you as you fly, you see a tree. It's a big tree, like really big. Like really big, and it's surrounded with beautiful life around it. It's like really, really big, like a tree of life, something like that. As we count to 5, I want you to say your goodbyes and get ready to come back. 5, we say our goodbyes. We feel the blessings of this blessed one in time. Bring them with us. And as you see that beautiful stream and you go to drink from it, it will sustain that feeling. 4, we prepare ourselves to walk through the door that we came through. We walk towards it. 3, we head for the nerve and we're walking through the door and saying goodbye to this world. 2, we have walked through the door and we can see our bodies and we must re-enter them. 2, we are still gaining the senses of our surroundings, where we are and everything around us. 1, we open our eyes. 1, we open our eyes.
Thank you, Ashaba, for that beautiful meditation. It always puts us in an amazing mindset. And if you like this episode, check us out. This is the Dream World Podcast, hosted by myself. I'm Amina, and my co-host, Ashaba. And really, we do these open discussions where everybody can participate, everybody can learn from each other. We do them on Zoom and also in Clubhouse, which is exclusively for iPhones. But if you need an invite or a link, just DM us on Instagram. You can find us, the Dream World Podcast, on Instagram, also on Clubhouse, and on YouTube. So check us out, get involved, and explore the universe with us. Peace and blessings.